the majority of this chapter. The reason why is because we're going to talk about thy faith made thee whole. Thy faith made thee whole. And so Mark chapter 5, verse number 30, it says in verse number 30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to preach and to teach. Lord, give us the ears to listen. Let us learn of your word today. And we love you and we praise you. And thank you for what your son did on the cross for our sins, but also what he did before. Teaching us and guiding us to showing us what love and kindness is, what it means to being God, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to being someone who could take care of us in all of our needs. So thank you again for the example that he is and the Savior that he is. We love you, Lord. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about thy faith and made thee whole, but we're actually going to talk about the whole story, not just this woman, because this part about the woman is very small as opposed to the whole context that we saw in this chapter, in chapter 5. So we've been going over the book of Mark on our Sunday school class with our teens, and I told the teens before I came up today that this is going to sound similar because we just talked about Mark chapter 5 like a month ago. And so, but it's not similar, it's a completely different message, and so I said they still have to listen. So we'll see what they do with that information, but in this chapter, we see God doing something amazing, because we don't see him grabbing her, spitting on her hand, spitting on her face, or touching her, or anything like that. He's not putting any physical content or effort into saving her. She touched his garment. Not even his skin, she just touched his garment. So I want to start before we get there, though, again, and reiterate that this is not the whole story, all right? There's more going on before and after this young lady. But the whole premise is our faith can help make us whole, okay? God wants our attention. You don't have to be a certain person or a popular person or a talented person to get his attention. No, you just have to be a faithful one. You just have to be willing to show him that you desire him. And these people that we see here are different examples of those who stood out to Jesus because they, despite everything that was going on in their lives, we'll talk about it, went to Jesus. And in one case, in one scenario at the end, Jesus went to him, okay? So we find in number one, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, in Mark chapter 5, 21, same chapter, okay, but the premise before the young lady. So in 21, verse 21, it says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So we stop there for a second, because right between this moment and the continuation of Mr. Jairus' story is the young lady. But we're actually going to skip ahead in verse number 35, and it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John and the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talith kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. So we see that Mr. Jairus, the leader of the synagogue, he came up to Jesus, and as a leader of the synagogue, I'm assuming that his peers didn't agree with Jesus. And so we see him coming to Jesus just in person, asking to save his daughter. And the reason why I bring that to your attention today is because when people are talking about politicalness, you know, for example, if you look in today's society, it's one side or the other most of the time, and they're very volume, like they're very loud about it. And so, but when it comes to family, it doesn't matter whose side is on whose side. The point was he wanted to save his daughter, and he knew that Jesus had done miracles. He knew Jesus was someone that could do something, and he was not afraid of the repercussions that would come. Because this was political suicide. This would have been political suicide for him. This would have been one of those moments where if people found out that he went to Jesus, that they would shun him, they would kick him out, they wouldn't want anything to do with him anymore, he'd lose his career path. But he did not care, because when you're a parent, you'll do anything to save your child. And that's the way he saw it. So he came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I need you to save my daughter. So they came together to see his daughter, and they, as they came to the house, a servant of Mr. Jairus came out, and he said, sir, it's too late. Don't trouble him anymore. She's dead. Now, the way this went about, I would not be surprised if she was dead before he met Jesus. Because it seemed like the urgency wasn't there for the servant. He said, why trouble the master any further? It made it sound like Mr. Jairus already knew his daughter was dead. And that made me wonder, if he knew his daughter was already dead, he must truly have believed that Jesus could do something about it. So his servant says, why trouble the master any further? And I love this part. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue. And in my mind, I imagine only a few people heard this, because Jesus is probably speaking to him personally. You ever speak to someone personally, you kind of whisper it so no one else hears it. I can imagine him looking over and saying, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, and the brother James. And he come into the house, and he sees the tumult, the people that were gathered together. They were weeping and wailing greatly. This was a young lady, okay? It's the worst when you see a child pass away, and they're all sad and mad and angry and all these kinds of things. And he said, why are you all doing this? She's just sleeping. And they got bitter and frustrated and mad at Jesus for saying what he said. So much so they were laughing in scorn. Because that's what happens sometimes when you deal with death to a close one, a loved one. You feel kind of bitterness and anger and emotions start to come out. And so what's going on is we see that they're allowing this frustrations to come out. And Jesus is like, no. Everybody leave, except for the parents and the guys I brought. Okay, everybody else has to leave. And I kind of like this. I like how God was doing this, because it made me feel like God was choosing this moment to be delicate, because he loves us. See, God is not just a God of power. He's a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of kindness. He knows your heart. He knows how you think. He knows how it feels. He knows your emotions. And he knows how to take care of you in every spectrum. So when he sees Mr. Jairus going through the struggle, he just handles it so delicately. He said, everybody leave. Just the parents and the people I brought so that they can see this. Okay? And so he takes the daughter. He heals her. He tells her to wake, to stand up, to arise. And straightway she arose and walked, and she was about 12 years old, and they were just astonished. Well, why were they astonished if she had just died? I think it's because she was already dead. So when he sees her walking, everything that he had just sacrificed was worth it. Didn't matter. His career didn't matter. His job didn't matter. His people's opinions didn't matter. His friends didn't matter. Because his daughter is walking again. The sacrifice, he was okay with it. Because it meant she would be there. But God knows our hearts. And I love this. Because in verse number 43, we see it even further. How delicate he handles this. He said he charged them straightly that no man should know it. Why? Because he doesn't want Jairus to lose his synagogue. He doesn't want Jairus to lose his position. He knows that this would have been, like I said, suicide for his career. He said, don't tell anybody what I did today. Keep it a secret. Only us know. And that's why when Jesus walked in, he said, why are you crying when she's still alive? And then when he goes in and she walks around, they're shocked because he doesn't want people, in my opinion, doesn't want people to know he raised her from the dead. But two, he doesn't want Jairus to have to explain that to anybody. He doesn't want him to have to worry about it because he cares about us. He worries for us. He knows our situations and he's willing to help us. Okay? No one but Jesus knew how to help Mr. Jairus. So number two, we see the sick woman who touched his clothes. And this is back to verse number 25 where we were. It says in verse number 25, a certain woman which had the issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things and many physicians had spent all that she had. We didn't read this part, by the way. I wanted to make sure I waited for this. But and was nothing bettered, but rather it grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came and pressed behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body. That she was healed from the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the virtue had gone out from him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? How could you ask this? Everybody, there's so many people around you. And he looked round about and to see her, the thing that had been done, or that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done unto her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. She saw a crowd gathering around. And like everybody else, when you see a crowd, you usually kind of go and try to get an idea of what's going on. I saw a guy on YouTube line up in a random line. They actually made a commercial out of it. Randomly lined up in a line. And they said, what are you guys waiting for? I don't know. I just saw a line, so I thought I'd get in it. And that's what's going on. This lady's walking. She's struggling. She's fighting her inner demons in a sense because she's sick. She's been sick for a long time. No one can save her. She's tried every single doctor, every single trick, and no one's helped her. No one's fixed her. And so she's walking through the streets. She's probably discouraged. She's probably thinking, oh, she's just going to die of this miserable plague. And she sees a crowd, and she's like, what's going on today? And then she hears a specific name. She hears Jesus. She hears that name. She comes with them because she's probably heard of Jesus at this time. And hearing about Jesus, she said, well, I've tried everything except him. See, the hope came back. The excitement came back. So she goes and touches his garment. What faith? To touch his garment, saying, you know what? He doesn't have to heal me by laying hands on me, to praying for me. I bet if I just touch his garment, I'll be healed. Oh, what faith. What faith. After asking who had touched him, she responded in fear, trembling. But this wasn't fear of being in trouble, no. No, this is not fear of getting in trouble with your parents or your principals or the police. That wasn't the fear that she's experiencing here because she was just healed of a plague that no man can heal because she knew she touched the garment of God. And that's the fear that she's experiencing in this moment because she's in the presence of God. After feeling the sensation of being healed by God, she knew it. Unlike getting medicine from the doctor, the healing of the Lord was instant. When we have faith, sometimes his answers are instant. He doesn't have to go through channels or lawyers or insurance. God does what he wants when he wants. And when we are faithful, trusting he will answer, sometimes his response is instant. And when it happens like that, we experience something only God could have provided. No one but Jesus could have helped her. And number three, and we're going to move into a different part of the Bible for this one. Same time period in John chapter 5. In John chapter 5, verse number 1. It says, I go one more page. John chapter 5, verse number 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which called in Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in this lay a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling water stepped in to be made whole of the whatsoever disease that they had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. On the same day was the Sabbath. So we see here a man who believed in this pool because he saw others getting healed by it. He had been waiting at this pool for 38 years, hoping and praying that no one would be around one day when that water started bubbling up. The thing about diseases is, though, everybody has them. A lot of people are sick. A lot of people are injured. A lot of people have problems. And if you got two legs, you're faster than the guy who has a problem with his leg and who has issues with his leg. You're faster than they are, so you can get down to that pool where the waters are troubled and you get healed. And so he's been sitting at this poolside for 38 years hoping for a chance to get in before anybody else. But he's lame. He can't get in by himself. He has to have someone help him. But no one's been willing to help him. So he's been sitting there for 38 years, probably lost all hope, probably just been sitting there. And again, Jesus didn't spit any dirt in his face and rub his eyes or any of that. He didn't have to. He just walked to the man and he said, Well, will you be made whole? Will you be healed from this? He said, Man, I've been doing this for so long, I doubt it. No one's helped me. It's like, I will today. So the thing about Jesus is, sometimes he just comes to those that need him without them even asking. How do you think we got saved? Some of us have those stories where we got saved because we didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden we hear a message or we see a Bible verse or we see some inspiration from God and we realize that God's been calling out to us. Jesus comes up and he sees this man and he knows this man has no hope. He's like, I'm going to help this guy. I'm going to be the one that saves him. I'm going to be the one that heals him. And I'm just going to say, like he said to the young lady, or said to the 12-year-old young lady, arise, take up thy bed, walk. And for the first time in his life, in 38 years, because who knows how old he is at this point. If you're 38 years old at that time, that makes sense. If he probably was born with this, or he was young when he got it. But for the first time in 38 years, he walked by himself. This man believed that no one could heal him. But no one but Jesus wanted to help him. I think that's something we need to remember. Sometimes God allows miracles to happen to those who have no faith so that they begin to have faith. But this world is not going to help you. There's some times where they might help you for their own gain. Sometimes they may help you for but a season, but it really didn't do much. But Jesus is always willing to help. And he saw this man and he was willing to help when no one else wanted to. And that's because of who he is. We talk about how faith is what builds our relationship with God. But that faith has to start somewhere. And so for that man that day, it started with a walk. Well, many of us have been walking by faith for many years. Many of us have been saved for many years. But how many times have we tried to just look at the matter and look at what God's been doing in our lives and think, you know, God, I've never been kidnapped. I just want to say thank you. Just saying. You know, God, I've never lived on the street. I just want to say thank you. You know, God, I've never had cancer. Some of you have had cancer. Praise the Lord, you're standing here with us today. But thank you for letting me never have an experience that. And those who have had cancer, praise the Lord that God allowed you to be here and you know, praise the Lord. How many times do we just go to God and say, God, thank you for allowing me to be in a country that's not a third world country, where I don't have to hope and pray for my next meal? How many have ever thought, you know what, thank the Lord I'm not living out in Mexico where there's constant gang violence, or praise the Lord I'm not living out in certain places where I could get shot at any moment? Well, we are in Albuquerque. But no, praise the Lord that's never happened to us. We got to thank the Lord for these things because we're not here. We don't have a 12-year-old child on her deathbed. Praise the Lord. We're not sitting next to a pool hoping to be healed by magical water because of an angel, because we've been crippled for 38 years. Praise the Lord. See, back then when you were crippled, you were pretty much done. You couldn't go anywhere. Praise the Lord, it's not like that today. Praise the Lord, we live in a time frame where we can read his Bible openly, read his text, read these words, read these stories, and say, you know what, God? I learned from you today, because there's countries that don't allow that. Praise the Lord, I could sit here, or stand up here, and speak to you about God freely. Because I know some people, missionaries, who can't do that. They have to do it in secret. Praise the Lord. Thy faith had made thee whole. Well, what's our faith? How strong is our faith? Well, praise the Lord, we never had to go through any of these different things. Praise the Lord, we never had to experience these problems. That's part of faith. Understanding that God has never put you in something you couldn't handle. I knew a young lady. We're going to close here. I knew a young lady. She went to Graceway with us. She was a senior on our last year that we had it open, and I was able to lead her to the Lord. And the reason why was because, well, we had to have a senior meeting for her future to figure out what she wanted to do for her future. And while we're talking, she's just airing her life, just, you know, how much she struggled. And I've actually known at that time for a while that she wasn't saved. It was the weirdest thing. She came up to my desk one day. I was talking to her about salvation, and she said, oh, I'm not saved. I'm like, what? You're not? You go to Graceway? And, well, obviously, just because you go to a Christian school, not every kid is Christian, okay, first and foremost. So she's like, yeah, I'm not saved. And I was like, really? She's like, I know I'm going to hell, and I'm okay with it. I was like, what? She's like, yeah. I've seen my parents, and I've seen their lifestyle, and I don't want it. And I'm like, oh, this is just so heartbreaking to know this, to hear this. And so we had our meeting one day, and I asked her about it. I said, you never did accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, did you? And she said, no. And I said, how's that working out for you? I was just being blunt. I said, how's that working out for you? You know, how's your life? She's like, it sucks. It stinks. It's terrible. Have you changed anything? No. Well, why don't you? Jesus Christ is right there. Why not try him? Why not talk to him? Why not accept him as your Savior and let him help you? Well, you've tried everything else. I was like, you tried everything else. You still have a chance to come to Jesus and let him help you before it's too late. You could do this. And she kind of put her head down on that. She said, you know, you're right. Why don't I try Jesus? And she accepted him. Praise the Lord. And she got an opportunity. She got to go to Bible college. She got married. I talked to her husband like 2 weeks ago. Her parents, you know, from what he told me, they're doing great. And I was like, man, that's such a blessing. What a wonderful blessing. What a wonderful testimony. And that's just, I just wanted her to understand that Jesus is there. And he's willing to help if we're willing to come to him. We don't have to be in a place of contention. We don't have to be a place of turbulence. We don't have to be in a place where we're struggling. We just need to trust him. And praise the Lord that we're not there. But if we are in those places, he's just waiting for us to call unto him. He's just waiting for us to have enough faith to even just touch his garment. Think about that. She may have had extreme faith knowing that he would save her, but her faith was just enough to touch the garment. Just a piece of his clothes. Imagine what we could have, what kind of faith we could have, what kind of relationship we could have if we were one-on-one with him. just talking to him, praying to him, having conversation with him, believing in him, trusting him like a father. Imagine the strength of that faith. So we're going to have our piano player come, and Brother Mike. Faith doesn't come from reading the Word of God or by going to church. Sometimes it comes from just understanding that God is the answer. Sometimes it comes from just opening our eyes and seeing what He provides. Sometimes it's just the last chance we have. God can come to us through any means. It's what we do with that faith after receiving Jesus that matters. Do we tell others what He did for us? Or do we just pretend like He just didn't touch or change our hearts or our lives? It's up to us. We choose what to do with our faith. But let me tell you, your faith can make you whole. Let's stand and we'll have our song. What song are we singing today?
371,
Have Thine Own Way. Now is a chance for us to just say, God, thank You. Thank You for not putting me in a position to struggle in life. Thank You for not putting me in a place where it just be miserable. Lord, I know I have my own issues, but Lord, I'm just so thankful that You never gave me anything I can't handle. Now's the time to do that, to come to Him.